Well, this morning I want to share some thoughts with you about the mystery of hope, and it's part of the sermon series and the message series for this season of Advent. Advent is the four Sundays before Christmas, and the whole purpose of the Advent season is to help get us ready inside, to get us thinking and being mindful of what God is really trying to do in our world through the people of the church. And this week I'm going to talk about the mystery of hope. Next week, I'm going to talk about the mystery of peace, and then on the 15th, the mystery of joy, and then in the 22nd, the mystery of love. And so the question is, what is the mystery of hope? What's the mystery? And the mystery of Christmas and the mystery of hope is that deeper spiritual part of the celebration of the Christmas season. And in the church, we have this Advent time. And Advent means a time of preparing, of getting ready, a time of just waiting and being open and watching all that's going on, and particularly to be mindful and aware of what God is trying to do through you and I. And so this mystery of hope is a really important part of our lives as Christians and as people in general. Hope is one of the most important ingredients in life. This passage says from Abram Miller, he says, a person begins to die when he or she ceases to expect anything from tomorrow. When you lose hope in your life, you're in trouble. Doesn't matter how bad things are getting. It doesn't matter how much is crashing around you. As soon as you lose hope in your life, you're in trouble. And in this first Sunday of Advent, it's a time to be mindful of how important hope is in your life and where the hope comes from. Because if you think that hope just comes from you, you would be partially correct, but not completely correct. And yet many people think that the hope's in me and in you. Carl was a man who was running his own business and going very, very well until the crash in 2008. And when that crash came, he lost his business. He lost all his source of income, all his investments that he had poured into his business. Not a couple days past that, his son was killed in a tragic car accident. His mother had a heart attack. His wife went into a deep sense of depression because of the loss of the son and the loss of the business. And Carl was caught in a mindset of darkness and despair. In fact, as he reflected on where he was in life, he could only remember the words that Jesus spoke from the cross, who said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you given up on me? And Carl wrestled with these words. He thought about his circumstances, and he didn't see anything changing very quickly. But he remembered the faith that he had in Christ, and he remembered the resurrection of Christ, and he remembered the promise of Christ that in one day in the future, in a day that was going to come, he would experience new wholeness and health. And every time somebody asked him how he was doing, he always replied the same thing: I'm trusting in God's promise. That's all he could say. Couldn't say things are getting better. Couldn't say I'm looking forward to the future. All he could say is, I'm trusting. I'm walking in a state of trust in the promises that God has given. And the promise was that one day things would change and he would encounter wholeness and health, even if it wasn't until the time he moved to the doorway of death itself. Well, life did not change quickly for Carl. But as things began to improve slowly and at the 10-year mark after his business closed down, God blessed them with a gift. And the gift was a new grandson. And when he saw the eyes of his grandson, when he held his grandson for the first time, he said, "Thank you, God, for this gift of life." And he said it was holding on to the hope in the promise of Christ that had got him through that period. That's the mystery of hope. Now, most people, when they talk about hope, they're really talking about wishful thinking. I hope it doesn't snow this afternoon. Right? I hope I get what I want for Christmas. Oh, I hope the kids will come. Right? Oh, I hope that the Tiger Cats won the CFL. Did they? Uh-oh. I missed that. Right? And when most people talk about hope, they're talking about this wishful thinking that they have. And when they don't get what they want, they go that hope's no good. If they don't get the response immediately, then they don't believe that hope was part and is not a real thing in life. But that's not the hope that we're called to as Christian people. The hope that we're called to as Christian people is a spiritual quality for life. It's a spiritual quality for your entire life. It's not just until Christmas Day when I open the package and get that tie that I've been waiting for all year. It's a hope that draws me into the future and draws me into something that is greater than myself, which is the hope that we have in the Christ child. For centuries, the Jewish people had been waiting for hope to come, for the Messiah. They had been waiting for a couple of years. They had been waiting for centuries for the Messiah to come. And when the Messiah came, only certain people who were tuned in spiritually realized what was going on, and that God came in the form of this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And in that moment, when the light shone, hope began eternal. And the hope that we have is a hope in the promises of God, trusting that what God has promised, what God has predicted, what God has foretold will come to fruition. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not even in my lifetime. But one day, as Isaiah said, peace is going to come. And the question is, do you have that hope? You see, the spiritual hope draws us to a deeper place in life, but it sustains us in the moment of our living. And that's what Christians are called toward, a hope that is connected with the Christ child, but supports me in the shifts and the changes, the disappointments, the tragedies, the difficulties of my life, and it gives me energy to live out my life to the fullest. And that's what we celebrate on this first Sunday of Advent, the hope that comes in the Christ child, Jesus. When we were in Honduras, we went to the Ray Zareny School, which is a school for destitute young ladies. There's a 75% poverty level in Honduras. And poverty level means you live on $2 American a day. That's the income in poverty. Yeah. And the question becomes, how do you live in that context? And this young lady spoke to us, and she's 17. She came to the school when she was 15. And she spoke, she had been asked to speak to the graduating class. And when she spoke about the hope that she had and the hope for Honduras and how it will change. And she called the graduates to believe in themselves and to trust in the presence of God. and to never give up the vision and the hope that transformation will come. Now, if this woman, young woman, had spoken in Canada, it would have been impressive. But to speak in Honduras, because women have no rights in Honduras, children have no rights in Honduras, and for her to speak with such passion and with such hope and determination was an incredible witness to that spiritual hope that we have in the Christ child. And when she spoke that day, it moved the hearts of everybody in the room, because we realized there was this extraordinary young lady, only 17, that had the vision to change Honduras. Is it going to change in a lifetime? Probably not. But she's going to sow some seeds of hope into the hearts and the minds of other women. Now, this school is a very impoverished school, and they come from all the different ghettos in Honduras, and there's lots of gangs. They tell us that once a month, somebody in the school, one of the girls in school, is attacked or mugged. And yet the girls keep coming week in and week out. And they come because of the hope that is theirs, that one day things are going to change. And when we go down there every year, one of the things that you do as a congregation is you instill hope in the lives of the children and in the people just simply by going and doing the work that we've done. Over the last 13 years, we've built 3 homes for the kids. We've built 7 schools. We've built a medical clinic. We've built a nursing station, a principal's office at the school. And this year we went down, and we start with this wall that was 300 feet long, and we're to build it 7 feet high. And in Honduras, when you build, you always start with a pile of bricks. Now, the interesting thing this year is, normally the Canadians form this Congo line, and we pile all the bricks up. But this year, the principal of the school where we were working asked all the kids in the class to move the bricks themselves. And she wanted to teach them that building a wall takes energy and effort. And it was an incredible piece that when we got there, all these bricks had been moved. And so we put our specialist on the wall to get her getting some things done. And the wall just starts going up one brick at a time. And it was hard to believe that we were going to be able to lay as many bricks, but this year we laid more bricks than any other year put together. And we had the help of the kids and the workers that Tango brings with him, and the young lads from the house that did in the couches, they were there. And they work alongside of us. And all you do is you put one brick up at a time. But it's amazing how you can get these old Canadians going down there and laying bricks one after another and to watch the wall go up. This is another interesting story. Wayne fixed the screens, and this is a young lad, and his hand right here is severely deformed. He can't straighten out his hand. And that's why he tucks it in with the pictures. But he and Wayne fixed a lot of the screens, and he was excited about doing what he can. He did what he could. And that's what everybody did. And more bricks came, and more bricks were moved, and the wall just kept going up and going up and going up. And then when we had to get up to the 9-foot mark, we worked on scaffolding. There's Anne dancing up there, doing the brick shuffle. And lo and behold, after the 10 days, the wall was built to 80%. We could only get to 80%. And that wall is a symbol of hope. It's going to be a barrier that protects the kids from the traffic that's going to be beside it. And it's a sign for them of the hope that you bring as a congregation to the people and the children of Honduras. And so this morning, we celebrate our faith. We come to this season of Advent with a great sense of hope, knowing that the hope is in us, but it is not our hope. It's a hope that is founded in the promises of God that we encounter through the presence of the Christ child that was born 2,000 years ago plus, but who is alive and continues to instill hope in the lives of people like you and me. And that's why your role is important, because you're called to carry not just your hope for life, but the hope that Christ brings to our world.